This episode of The Tome Show is brought to you by Noble Knight Games, where Out of Print is available again. And listeners like you, thanks for using The Tome's Amazon store.
This is Eitan Bernstein, author of Dragons of Faerun, The Magic Item Compendium, and Exemplars of Evil, and you're listening to The Tome.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 149. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interview show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, I'm going to find a soldier of fortune to help me find the Lost City, with an open design update. And with me today to talk about the latest two projects from Open Design, we have Matt James, author of the upcoming product, Soldiers of Fortune. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
And we'll try to leave your long-lost brother Mike out of it today, because I know that hurt you deeply last time you were on.
Yeah, my emotional scars will be there for life, but luckily I've healed.
Yeah, good. And also with us today, we have Logan Bonner, author of the other big open design project for 4th edition, The Lost City. It's good to have you back as well, sir.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Logan.
I guess I didn't ask before we started recording, but I assume you two know each other.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Yes, absolutely. Yes, we've chatted and run into each other and worked together and had an illegitimate child together.
Well, that's good. Let's make sure that we air all of our dirty laundry publicly. All right, so just some quick news updates. You may notice if you've been there recently that the Vorpal Network site is down temporarily. They're making some upgrades to the site and trying to fix some of the make it a little more appealing looking. Some of the things that we didn't like and some of the things features we wanted on it weren't quite there, and so they're working on that. But in the meantime, you can still reach me on the forums, which we have merged the Vorpal forums with the Gamers Haven forums. Since the network originally started with three shows sharing forums, one of which was Gamers Haven, we decided to just do it that way again. So you can find us all over at the Gamers Haven forums, and that will be linked on the site. Other than that, in D&D news, Essentials is out, or a handful of the Essentials products are out, and you can expect an episode on the first four products from that line in a week or two, probably. But if you have questions or comments, be sure to call in the Tome's Biz line at 919-BIZ-TOME. Have either one of you gentlemen picked up the Essentials products?
Yes, I have the, what do I have? Jeez. The Rules Compendium and the Heroes of the Nentir Vale, I think it's called.
Heroes of the Fallen Lands.
Oh, yes. Sorry. And I was telling my Friday night group, we play every Friday night, if the name didn't give it away. The Rules Compendium is actually my second all-time favorite 4th edition product.
Wow.
It's that good. It's condensed. It doesn't have any BS in it. It's just like no holes bar, thick, small little book that you can take anywhere, and it's got everything you need to know.
Very cool.
Logan, and I have the other two products that he doesn't have. I have the Red Box and the Dungeon Tile set. I'm planning to pick up the other two, but just haven't yet.
Right on. Yeah, the Dungeon Tile set was probably my favorite of the four. I'm somebody who never quite got into Dungeon Tiles. I have a few here and there, but that box sort of reinvigorated my interest in Dungeon Tiles. I sort of see it as, you know, if to make the possibly dangerous comparison to like Magic, right? I see the Essentials box as, you know, the starter pack, and all the other sets that you can get, you know, as the boosters.
Sure.
And I don't know.
The ones that actually go out of print, and
right.
Then you start. It's always, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I gave up on dungeon tiles a while ago. They just weren't working for me, but now I've got some new ideas about how to make them work, and I'm excited to try it out. So
the box is really nice too.
The box is a tile. Anyway, I got a whole episode I'm going to talk about this, so I don't want to freak out about that. All right.
I've actually been spending some time today with the other products and the essentials line that are coming up, because I'm working on something. I needed the Monster Vault PDF and the other Dungeon Tile PDF for. So I'm more familiar with those than I am Heroes of the Fallen Lands or Rules Compendium at this point.
Sure. All right, cool. Well, other news. I've recently recorded a couple of interviews and reviews, including the Legacy of Dakan novel trilogy for Eberron. And I may have also already conducted an interview with a certain R.A. Salvatore about a not-yet-released novel that's going to come out in a couple of weeks. So everybody be jealous now.
Ooh.
And no, Matt, I did not ask him about what he did to your character in this celebrity D&D game at Gen Con.
Well, I mean, it sounds kind of cool, but did you sit next to him on the flight over to Gen Con?
That I did not, no.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, we can't all be you, Matt James.
Thank you for getting my name right. We have officially slayed Mike James.
Oh, I don't know about that. Mike will live on. All right.
I'm raising him as we speak.
There you go. Ah!
Perfect. I'm going to find some random guy to play Mike, and I'm going to make a video for YouTube. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Anyway, any other D&D news that we should be talking about that I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, Syndicon 2 is coming up. Actually, it's not coming up. It's next March, but my buddies would smack me around if I didn't mention it. So keep an eye out for that. If anyone's on the East Coast, it's really awesome, fun. There's going to be some big surprises this year. So secret that not even I know what they are. I wanted to throw that out there.
Right on. All right. Well, if that's all the news and discussion we need to talk about, then let's get ready to talk about what's going on with Open Design these days. For anybody who may have forgotten or doesn't know, Open Design is the company created by Wolfgang Bauer, formerly of TSR and Wizards of the Coast. They publish the magazine Kobold Quarterly, which comes out, you know, quarterly. Which has content for both 3rd edition Pathfinder and 4th edition D&D. But they also have this open design patronage projects and other things that they do as well. The patronage projects are this sort of interesting and innovative idea that Wolfgang came up with, where people get to pay to be a patron as the adventure is being made, and then the patrons get to sort of provide feedback and help guide the process as the adventure is being written, and then when it's all done, they get a copy. The latest 4th edition open design project is called The Lost City and is being written by Logan Bonner, who is with us today and who we will be talking to momentarily. To mix things up a little bit, I'm going to let Matt James, author of Soldiers of Fortune, the other product we're going to talk about today, I'm going to let him take over the role as the interviewer, and I'm going to sit back and see what happens. But before we get into that, let me mention our sponsor for the episode, Noble Knight Games. They sell out-of-print and hard-to-find products as well as the latest and greatest. My pick for the episode is Kobold Quarterly number 14. This year's Gen Con special issue, which has a theme of treasure and traps for both 4th edition and Pathfinder. Have either one of you picked up the latest Kobold Quarterly?
I am a subscriber and loyal fan of the Kobold. I think it is the best RPG/D&D magazine that's in print right now.
So
I haven't picked it up yet. It wasn't in my Gen Con budget.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough to when you go to Gen Con and you've got only a certain amount of money to spend and a whole floor full of people trying to sell you stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. You can find that at Noble Knight for under $7, and be sure to tell them that the Vorpal Network sent you. Look for links in the show notes. And now it's time to get down to it. Logan Bonner is writing the open design project Lost City. But it's time for me to turn over the reins. Matt, you're going to handle the interviewing here, so I'll let you get right to it. I'm going to sit back and sip a martini, so you go ahead and proceed.
Wow. Well, I would like to thank the Tome Show for giving me this great opportunity to become an interviewer. It's long been a a dream of mine to be on such a show. So let's just get right to it. Logan, if you were a t-shirt, what color would you be and why?
Oh, man. You know, I've been always waiting for an opportunity to answer a question like this one. So it's amazing that we both realize our full potential at this very moment here on the Tome Show. Red. I like red.
Red because you like red. So you would be a red shirt, say, on Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yeah, those are kind of more long-sleeve t-shirts. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. I did say t-shirt. See, I'm new at this whole, like, interview thing. So
I don't think they let short sleeves onto the Enterprise.
Yeah, I know. What would Will Wheaton say? Shh, crap. All right, on to your project. The Lost City. I'll have you know that I am a patron for The Lost City. I'm sad to say that I haven't been able to pay as much attention recently as I would have liked to everything that's going on. But I do notice that at least the section for patrons is very active. And from the few threads that I was able to look at, say, about a week ago, there's a lot of discussion going on. So let's go ahead and start out with what is the premise of The Lost City? Can you give us kind of a very high level, high altitude overview of The Lost City?
Sure. So the initial concept, the project, which started out with three different pitches, kind of with directions to take it, was Sandbox 4th Edition Adventure Anthology. So many authors, kind of open-ended, not very linear kind of experience, and it's a lost city of some kind. So from that, we had three different pitches. One was, it's a city buried under the sand in a kind of more desert environment. Another was a flying city that was once controlled by giants. And the other was kind of a monastery opening a kind of spectral gate to take you to a city that had been sealed away for eons. So from there, that's when we kind of were gathering all the initial patrons, trying to get up to meet our commission. And now after that, we actually voted and picked which one we wanted. And we'd had a lot of discussion before we'd reached our full commission. And actually the patron who had initially pitched the flying city, the Jotunheim city, had the idea of, you know, of saying, what if one of these flying cities had crashed and was buried under the sand? So we ended up basically combining a couple of those pitches into one. And so, you know, kind of spoilers if you're going to play through the adventure, but kind of one of the threads that the PCs might be able to pursue is taking this crashed flying city and raising it back up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I need to get back in on these discussions. For those who don't know, when you become a patron of one of these products, you're given access to a private area of the website community where you're able to interact directly with the designer, in this case, Logan Bonner, and offer insight, suggestions, questions, and he'll get on there and you know, kind of read and kind of direct things how it goes. So it's really kind of cool to see how that goes. As for the next question, what would be your first question to the people of Antarctica if you were to travel there?
My first question to the people of Antarctica, I would ask them if they think the people living at the Arctic Circle are kind of lame because they don't even have like a landmass underneath them. Like, what is that?
That's true. It's just one big floating block of ice.
Yeah. Worthless.
Okay. I'll accept that. That's a great answer.
I hope I haven't pissed off my Arctic Circle fan base. I'm going to lose.
Dude, you totally just lost a whole segment of the Antarctic, you know, society there.
They've got nothing to do with play RPGs.
That's true. That's true. With the Lost City, the actual source book, what can you give us an idea of how big it might be as far as like page count?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it's around 180.
Wow. And what does that equal to in words for those that are not in publishing?
A number. I don't know.
That's a good answer. I like that.
Conceptualizing word counts. I'm just kind of like pages make more sense to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about 850 words a page, and then there's art. So,
right.
So I'm sure dedicated listeners can do some math and get a good estimate.
And the first one to answer that and throw it up onto Twitter while listening to this will receive a prize from Jeff. I'm gonna throw him under the bus there.
Who's offering this prize?
Hey! You said I'm doing the question here, man.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, maybe Wolfgang set up the interviews here, so maybe we'll have him give away a prize from Open Design.
Okay. I'll give away a free, unadulterated internet high five. That's right, folks. Logan and I will give you an internet high five, which will be a picture of us probably pretending to give you a high five, holding up a piece of paper with your name on it. Okay, I'm derailed this interview long enough. Next question. Are there any other designers that are working with you, or is that one of the things with these patron products where it's kind of like you're the guy and people kind of run with you?
Well, this particular project, since it's kind of an anthology type of adventure, and it's a little longer product, it's not like a 32-page adventure, there are going to be probably about three, give or take, other authors in addition to me. And those are drawn from the pool of senior patrons. There's basically several different levels of patronage, which cost different amounts of money, give different levels of access. So you've got the basic patron level. You get to go to the patron forums. You get to see all the pitches and playtest stuff early. You get to talk about, make your opinion known on everything that's coming out. And then there's the senior patron level, where you can actually pitch things. Wow. And it doesn't mean you have the ability to pitch things. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to have your pitches succeed, but it's kind of a way to limit the number of pitches we're getting and make sure it's like really dedicated people doing that. And they also get access to a higher level forum. So for example, I collected the pitches. I put them all in one forum post so all the patrons could read them. And then for the senior patrons, I gave them feedback on their pitches and kind of gave a little higher level of interaction with the designer. And then if their pitch gets chosen, then they get hired, they get paid, they have a contract to write up that section for the book.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Next question. Who is your favorite Starfleet Command captain? Is it Picard? Is it Kirk? It is Kirk?
I'll cut you off before you lower yourself to saying any other captains.
All right. Next question. How did this project come along? Did Wolfgang kind of contact you, or did you, toss your lore out into the fishing pond that is game design? And how'd it go down?
Wolfgang contacted me. I'd heard of the patronage system and what Open Design was doing. I thought it was really cool, but I didn't really know Wolfgang or anything. So it just kind of was out of the blue, I guess.
Excellent. Excellent. Next question. Was Wesley Crusher really as bad as the Star Trek community made him out to be?
I haven't watched any of those episodes for a long time, so I think I'm going to abstain from answering that question.
Ooh,
I don't feel like I'm properly educated.
Okay. If it's called The Lost City, I assume the players will, whoever's running this, the players will run into it, correct?
Yeah, it's not going to be lost for the whole adventure.
Oh, I was going to say, because maybe it should be called The Found City. Or the formerly lost city.
When you start the adventure, it's the lost city.
Yeah.
Then, then it gets found.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because, you know, I mean, you know, the blogosphere out there, there's going to be someone out there that's going to say, you know, and it might be me, but I mean, we got that cleared up. So let me think. What is your favorite part of the design process? There's obviously a lot of people out there don't understand what goes into it. They think, and I get this a lot. People are like, oh, you just kind of sit down and you just kind of write it up. And, you know, as politely as possible, you try to explain them. There's a lot more to it than that. But what is your favorite part of game design?
I think, at least in a collaborative project, my favorite part is kind of when somebody has an idea that's just out of left field that everybody, you know, really grabs onto. Like the idea that kind of comes out of nowhere, like the idea of combining the settings was just kind of, you know, magic, right? Suddenly everybody's on, or not everybody, but a lot of people are on board with this and really get into it. And it ends up like being the most favored setting by a pretty good margin. That's one of my favorite things, is seeing like just an idea somebody had in a forum discussion turning into a big deal. It's also really nice being able to kind of impart some knowledge of the process to people who are just getting into pitching and writing for RPGs. There certainly have been a lot of people who are like, who are saying that seeing the comments of all the patrons and my comments on their pitches was really helpful, and that they feel like they've got, you know, more tools now to be able to go forward and do good pitches and do good design.
Excellent. Excellent. So I noticed that your hometown is in Scott City, Kansas. Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in the country, but that's where I went to school.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I'm a Midwest Westerner. I come from Denver, Colorado. So, so represent. I was that the virtual like chest bump?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Crossing the state line.
I don't know what else I can ask you, because obviously both of us are covered under non-disclosure agreements to an extent.
Yeah. Well, you could ask me. I mean, I guess, you know, you haven't been reading everything. Maybe you could ask me to, since you're a patron, kind of give you an idea of where we're at right now.
Yeah. Where are we at right now, man?
So right now, since we already had picked the major
Jeff,
setting.
Jeff, stop that giggling. I can hear you. This is my interview.
I was just getting ready to send you some questions to help you out, but never mind.
So we'd already picked kind of our favorite of the general kind of setting ideas. And we had the senior patrons kind of give their initial round of pitches. And right now the vote is still going. It's going from now about a day, and this is Thursday the 23rd. So it's going to end on Friday. But I want to kind of give a description of a couple of the front runners. One of them is called Impressions. And these are two that are like, they're not super far ahead of the pack, but they're, you know, they're definitely up there. So I think they'll probably make the cut in the long run. So one of these uses a race that we previewed a little while back on the Kobold Quarterly website called the Oklu. They are a race of reptilian creatures that have magical stealth abilities. They can essentially turn invisible pretty often. And they also kind of, not only do they change their, you know, physical appearance, but they also change their mental state based on who they're around. They're really, really impressionable, easy to influence. And so this, this pitch kind of runs with that. And it talks about places where the players can make a rapport with these Oklu, and they can kind of bond with them. And then there are sections of the encounters later on where they kind of have a parallel story arc, where there's the PCs are doing one thing and their Oklu allies are doing something else to help in another area. So like one example is this fight where the Oklu in the city kind of contribute to the battlefield by like setting up traps and throwing stuff down from the buildings to help the PCs. And there are also, this pitch includes stuff like creating Oklu companion characters. So it's kind of a lot of ways to integrate this race into your game or into this adventure. So that's kind of a neat approach. And then the other one I'm going to talk about is called the Hanging Gardens of Cadreloo, which is kind of the tentative name of the city. And this is a section of the city that, when the city crashed, flipped upside down. So it's got everybody adventuring, all the PCs adventuring in an upside down section of the city that has like hanging vines and kind of all this strange vegetation. And there are a bunch of monsters that are kind of implanted with larvae that control them. So a lot of kind of monsters you wouldn't expect to see here, but they're here and they're kind of influenced in a weird way. And so that's a pretty neat pitch that has got a lot of people excited too.
Sweet. If you could have one...
You see what you're missing, Matt James?
What? What did I miss? Oh, well, geez, you know, I kind of am working on some other projects. I'm going to jump on there tonight and just suggest a bunch of insane things and throw stuff to the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Any superpower, the perfect ability to imitate Matt James so I can ruin his life from the inside out.
Whoa! I kind of dig that. I dig it.
You would also like the ability to imitate Matt James? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, wait. I thought you were asking superpowers I already had.
Oh! when does this project kind of wrap up, and can people still participate?
People can definitely still sign up. Like if they wanted to sign up as senior patrons, I think we're probably not going to take more pitches at this point. What I think I'm going to do, and it's kind of been a little bit in flux because this is my first time doing this. I wasn't quite sure how many pitches we're going to get, but we got quite a few. I'm probably going to narrow down the pool of pitches and kind of do a runoff round and let people kind of adjust their original pitches a little bit, the people who've been reduced down to that final round. But people can certainly still sign up. They can get access to the conversation. I think after the initial commission is met, the price goes up a little bit, so it's a little more expensive now. But I'm couldn't tell you the exact price right now. But yeah, if people are interested, if people have been waiting to see what the actual setting was before they knew whether they were really interested in it, now it's been decided. So maybe some people, you know, wouldn't have been that interested if it was the Flying Giant City, and now they would be. This is a fine time for them to get involved because we really haven't even started any of the writing yet. There's a lot still to see.
Excellent. I have a question here from the internet. From Twitter, and ironically, it's from Colvo Quarterly. So, the question is, what sort of adventure do you like to run most often?
You know, I kind of tend to wing it when I'm running stuff. I usually kind of have a few pieces in mind of where I want things to go, and then let the PCs fill in from there. So, I kind of create the bare bones of it and kind of have a couple scenes in mind. I don't usually construct things too thoroughly when I'm running.
Excellent. And probably one of the last and most important questions, who is your favorite James brother?
Man.
No hurry.
Favorite James brother.
Take your time. I think I'm
going to have to go with Luigi.
Ah, damn it, Luigi!
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. Huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
Okay, Logan, it's time to rake Matt over the coals. I've freshened up my drink, so I think it's time for you to go to work. Get all the secrets.
Was that the plan? I had all softball questions.
You had all softball questions? Oh, man. Well, throw them really hard.
How are you?
You go right ahead. I'm going to drink my drink.
I've got to bring up my game here. I've got to achieve a higher level. So, Matt, can you recite pi to 25 decimal places?
Jesus. 3.
That's incorrect.
0.1. Oh. Next.
Well, you got one decimal place. That's close.
I thought it was 3.14 something.
So I hear you're working on a project, or that you worked on a project and you have now passed it off.
Wait, you did what? I'm sorry.
I hear you've worked on a project for Wolfgang. Was it actually an open design project, or is this all you?
Oh, this is all me, baby. He contacted me a year ago, last September, and asked me if I wanted to do a source book for open design, of which case I really had to consider, to be honest. Yeah, right, man. I jumped all over that. And he knew that I was a wounded vet and that I was a D&D designer. And he wanted to know if I wanted to pitch a kind of idea. And, you know, to be honest, I don't remember. I don't know if he came up with the idea or if I came up with it. But somehow the idea for mercenaries came about. And he loved it, and I loved it, and it's kind of went from there. And he asked me to come up with a title, and I thought Soldiers of Fortune would be awesome. And, it's its own, you know, whole little genre of RPG games and stories is, you know, being a dirty merc.
So you're writing a book about mercenaries. It's got some stuff about warfare, I hear. What the hell makes you think you're qualified to talk about warfare?
Yeah, I know. It kind of stinks. I was in the United States Army from 2003 until 2006. I was a paratrooper who was stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and deployed to Iraq. Participated in many different missions, one of which, ironically, the last one that I participated in, I got blown up. My convoy was ambushed, and I failed my saving throw. I fell prone and unconscious, and which is a hard thing to do because I have like 18 surges, so it's kind of brutal. But yeah, so right. So my background is from the military. So I felt it would be a natural fit to kind of write about soldierly topics. So that's kind of what the book has.
So did any of your experiences like make it like just thinly concealed into the book? Are there any like NPCs or people you're around?
I'm sure at some level, some of the things were influenced. I do have a section in the book that, kind of is built off the principles of soldierly actions. Some of the new powers that you'll find in there, some of the feats, and you know, some of the traditions, especially and customs. I definitely think, it helped a lot there.
So you sent me an outline, or not an outline, but kind of a chapter list earlier today. You've got a chapter about warfare, yeah?
Yes, I do have a chapter about warfare, and that chapter is has a lot to do with the story of Midgard and how mercenaries kind of fill the gaps of various armies of the different kingdoms and societies on Midgard. So for someone looking for a lot of story fluff and some interesting parts that they can integrate to their own game, it's a great section for that. So people who are, you know, might not necessarily be into the whole mercenary or soldier aspect of the game can still pull story parts from it to help flesh out their own experience within the world of Midgard.
So how much of this book is for DMs? How much is for players?
That's an excellent question. When I started out, I kind of, you know, it was kind of going to be a very player focused kind of book. But as I was writing and designing, it started to morph, as a lot of projects do. And I, you know, talked it over with Wolfgang, and it's probably more 50-50. Like I said, that one section is a huge section of the book, is great for DMs. However, there is an entire section with new powers, new feats, new rituals and martial practices. So I think DMs and players will find a great value in picking this book up. I hear it also will make you grow a little taller, become stronger, faster, and the ladies will like you. It's kind of like the Axe effect. They see you with Soldiers of Fortune, written by Matt James, and there's going to be like girls running across the street to kind of jump on you. So that's like a warning. I don't know if Wolfgang's going to put that in the front of the book. However, I did recommend it.
I think he was saying sticker on the outside. So is it just pheromones go into your keyboard?
They go bat crap crazy, and they're just like, whoa, is that a Soldiers of Fortune source book under that dude's arm? And then they tackle you and do like inappropriate things. So just be warned, it's going to be rough at first.
Yeah, I just printed out the outline you sent me, and I've been turning away people all day. I should say,
yeah,
people.
Don't answer,
I mean,
the door.
It's gender. Everybody comes around.
True. Make sure you burn it after the interview. That way you won't be harassed when you're trying to get some sleep.
That's a good call. So I've got a two-part question for you. Since it has some stuff for players, has some stuff for DMs, what was your favorite part to write for players?
Oh, for players, geez. I really, at first, I mean, I had written the entire section with the new powers, which, by the way, is going to be a ridiculous amount of powers going from level 1 to 30. And I had a lot of fun with that. And then about halfway through the project, I went back and said, man, I want to kind of make these powers more awesome. And I can't really tell you how I made them more awesome, but... it was a ton of fun because I got to write these powers from the perspective of different characters. I got some input from some friends, and I think people are really going to enjoy that. And I also, if I can just say, I kind of created a new subsystem. It's kind of hard. I don't know what I can say. I'm just going to leave you with two words. Siege Warfare.
Now I'm intrigued and will have to buy the book.
Again, be careful.
Or coin it. Right. There will be some serious siege warfare.
Yeah, there's gonna be some optional rules for siege warfare and siege weaponry. So just keep an eye out for that. I think people will have a lot of fun with it.
So the second part of my question, you can probably guess at. What was your favorite part of the book to write for Dungeon Masters?
My favorite part to write for the Dungeon Masters was actually the last part that I kind of wrapped up for the book, which was the section with the bestiary. I kind of went through the world of Midgard region by region and tried to create some local monsters that might be found or encounters or types of people. And I just have a lot of tremendous fun creating new monsters or encounters or things like that. So it was a ton of fun. I think you guys are going to run into some nasty things. And I created the stats for one of the gods that is found within Midgard or the Zobek campaign setting. So I think people will be really interested to see those.
Nice.
Oh, and I also created the demiplane that he's located.
Sorry?
Go ahead. I said I created the demiplane that this god is located on as well. So,
world-shaping new content for Zobek and Midgard fans and Soldiers of Fortune.
Yes.
So I noticed one of these chapters sounds pretty interesting. Can you tell me about the Midgard stratagem?
Ah, the Midgard stratagem. That section is heavily influenced by... for those who are students of history and warfare, strategic warfare, such as that, by Sun Tzu, who wrote, well, actually, he didn't write The Art of War. It was his followers of him who wrote the 13 chapters that were based off of his teachings. So there's the Midgar stratagem kind of represents a fantasy version. Obviously it's much different, cut down, and I've, you know, added some things, but, yeah, so that's pretty much what that's about. And people can take that information and kind of run with it, do what they will with it. And it's a good learning tool too, because obviously not everything in that chapter will have stuff that's applicable to the real world, but, it'd be interesting to see. So I'd be interested to see how people, interpret it.
So, I've got a question from the internet here, from Cobalt Quarterly. Given your background, what do you think of the tactical side of D&D? Maybe Wolfgang should be
interested. I've actually been... I know. Actually, I've been asked that question before, and unfortunately, I don't think a whole lot of people believe me when I say that... I'm a huge fan of the tactical side of D&D, and it's not just because I'm a game designer in the industry. I think it's neat to watch certain groups or even people at your own table figure out kind of like a puzzle, the best way to take out a challenge. So I think it's important to the game. I like it. Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the game, in my opinion. I know I'm going to get a lot of emails about that question. I think it's awesome, and it's very cool. And for those wondering, D&D started as a tactical miniatures war game that one E. Gary Gygax adapted rules for, along with Dave Arneson, to add, you know, magic and fantasy to it. So the tactical side of D&D is very important, I think, and is intrinsic to the spirit of the game.
So do you find yourself, do you play tactically minded characters pretty often?
One would think. I don't know how I got suckered into it, but locally at least, I end up playing the brute of the defender role. One of my longest ongoing RPGA/Living Forgotten Realms character is a dwarf fighter dreadnought by the name of Rustybeard. And I kind of run in the middle of things word? And kick to try to kick. Yeah, that's one word. It's kind of like share. It's just Rustybeard.
Okay, so it's not afraid, like Rusty's given name.
A Scottish accent. And I try to roleplay like this at the table, and people look at me weird. So that's my way of keeping roleplaying alive. I also, if funny enough, my second most popular character in the area is
a half-orc paladin named Dorn, who I've, you know, shattered the game system with. And I talked like Arnold with him. And, yeah, a lot of people don't like him necessarily at the table because I kick the crap out of things. And people should know why if they know anything about optimization and 4th edition. And all I'm going to say is Righteous Rage of Tempest plus Divine Oracle. Thank you very much. See you later.
All right. So is there any creature in Soldiers of Fortune? Like you mentioned, there's a god in there. Is there any creature in here who could stop Dorn?
No, because Dorn is a monster. He is just a mean SOB who will, I mean, he is so good. He makes you want to slap your mama. He's that awesome. No, actually, it's funny you bring up, I mean, some of the monsters, you know, being on the player side of things, I think it definitely influences how you go about monster design. So I didn't shatter any of the tenets of monster design as per the system, but DMs will definitely find some things that they can use within the bestiary section that will hopefully keep them salvating. And I play in Sly Flourish's weekly game where we're currently level 28. And as you know, he's constantly trying to find ways to challenge his players. So being a player in that game, it helped me kind of design some of these monsters to offer DMs a unique way of, you know, kicking the crap out of their players every once in a while.
Nice. All right. So, how about, I think we've learned so much about Soldiers of Fortune. I wanted to check and see like the nuts and bolts. Do you know when the book is coming out? Do you know how much it's going to cost? And do you know how long it's going to be?
Oh, man. I have no clue. I honestly have no clue. It's in editing right now, which is good. It took me a lot of time to get it to editing because of other things that came up and fun times. But, yeah, I have no clue how much it's going to cost. I have no clue when it's coming out. It's probably going to be a 60-page little mini source book deal, I would think, judging off of the word count and pages. I didn't really do it by page. I did it by word count. But, I got to see the sketch of the front cover. Oh, which reminds me, I included 5 new mercenary type paragon paths, and the front cover I believe will be a depiction of them in some kind of action scene, which is awesome. I keep remembering things. Also, for DMs, at the end, I don't know where they're going to put it, but there's going to be a mini adventure in there, which is going to have a lot of brutal stuff for like a mercenary type mission that you can send your players on. Anyways, I don't remember what your original question was, so.
I don't think you know any of the answers to it, so it's okay.
Okay, good. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, I'm done with this guy.
All right. And to answer...
I made it through the gauntlet!
You survived. And to answer the original question that that Logan answered way back at the very beginning, 3.1415926533846263834197169308841971693993
498.
I didn't count to see if I actually made it to 25 there or not.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, someone Matt had a lot of time like on their the hand. First he just picks up again somewhere after there.
Where am I? Who are you? Why am I here?
All right.
Your name is Mike. We're born to assassinate.
I'm gonna have to come up with some like I don't know, accent for Mike or something. Hey, this is Mike. I don't know. I'll think of something.
Okay. Well, I think we've heard plenty of things about the two new products coming out from Open Design / Kobold Quarterly, and that sort of publishing house from Wolfgang Bauer. We have The Lost City from Logan Bonner, which is a flying city that crashed and now resides beneath the sands until, of course, the PCs find it, and it's sort of an open sandbox sort of adventure. Does that summarize that pretty well?
Yep.
All right. And then Matt James talked about Soldiers of Fortune, which is all about taking your mercenaries and putting them into a game, whether you're a player or, as it turns out, a DM, including all kinds of monster stats and rules for siege weapons, which I'm going to call Battle System 4.0.
Much cooler, obviously.
What, you didn't like Battle System?
Are we talking about 2E?
Yeah, that's my only experience with our army battles in D&D.
The Battle for Bloodstone Pass?
All right, well, in any case, we're going to call this episode 149. I want to thank our sponsor for the episode, Noble Knight Games, as well as our guests for tonight that made my job so easy, although I don't think I'm going to give up my job as the primary interviewer on the show from now on.
Whatever, I'm going to put up a poll.
You do that. Let's put up a poll. Matt James.
No, don't do that. I changed my mind. Don't do that.
Matt James, where can people find out more about you?
They can find out more about me at www.loremaster.org, or you can find me on Twitter at Matt_James_RPG, or any other of the major big sites. Oh, and you will see me shortly on EN World. They got me doing some special stuff for them. So feel free to drop me a line at any of those places. I'm really friendly and a little crazy, but I'm friendly.
That sounds accurate to me. And is loremaster.org back to full functionality? I know you had some problems with it a while back.
Yes, it's back to full functionality. Please come there and pester me. I do give out weird prizes or cool prizes for people who participate. We have some good articles that go up. And, of course, I don't know. I ran out of steam there, man. So it's awesome.
Loremaster.org, where the awesome lives.
Ooh, I like that.
Logan Bonner, I hear that you're doing some things out there on the interwebs these days. Where can we find you?
That's true. I'm also on Twitter, at Logan Bonner. And you can find my blog on critical-hits.com. It's called Minor Quests.
Minor Quests, because you're not important enough to be major?
Ooh.
The articles are minor quests.
Oh, right on. Very cool.
Books are minor quests.
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed your articles on there. Keep up the good work. And of course, people can find me online, at thetomeshow.com, or email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com. Visit the forums over at the Gamers Haven website, which I will link to, and call the Tome's Biz line at 919-BIZ-TOME with your thoughts, questions, or comments for upcoming episodes. You can review the show on iTunes or get out there and tell people about it, and those things help the show grow. And don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store for products discussed on the show and more. The show gets part of the proceeds.
Jeff.
What?
Jeff, I just got to say, man, I got to interrupt you there. How pimp are you when you have your own phone number line? Seriously, dude, internet high five, going to Jeff, call into the line. Because if people call in and ask fun questions, dude, you're a pimp, man. That's all I got to say. Continue. I'm sorry.
You should actually hear some of the really fun questions that I get sometimes. There's another podcaster who likes to call in regularly. He does a show called The Great Debate. Where he does all these crazy voices and they have like little geeky gamer debates with each other. His characters debate with each other. Well, he'll call in every now and then and do like a silly sort of redneck out in the middle of nowhere, you know, hillbilly voice. Like, for example, when I mentioned on Twitter that I was doing an episode with Robert Schwab about psionic power, he did this whole rant of a call about Hey, I my truck ended up in the ditch and I can't get it out and I don't want to pay for AAA. Can I get this here psionic power book and teach me to telekinesize my car on out of that day? You know? So he does all kinds of, he sends me fun things like that all the time. It took me a while to figure out who it was that was sending me those, but those are fun. But anybody else, of course, can send, call in as well. Questions for when I'm talking to people like this, or any books that are coming out, let me know what you want to hear about, or questions for advice episodes. Call them in, 919-BIZ-TOME. And like I was saying, check out the Tomes Amazon store. I put all kinds of things up there, and if you go to Amazon through the Amazon store, then I get a cut of the proceeds, and that helps pay my bills. Links for things in the show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com. And this has been episode 149, wherein Logan Bonner has hired a team of mercenaries to find Matt James, who is rumored to be hiding in a flying city that crashed ages ago. But unfortunately, the mercenaries failed to bring back Matt James and accidentally found his awesome missing brother, Mike James. And all of this happened while you weren't paying attention in the Open Design Update episode of
The Toe. I'm on the wall.
Da 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 da. Do 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 do.
Dude, hey, you need to so cut in some Mario music right there. And like have his part of the interview end right there. That would be so fun. No, have it like when you die, like do 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 do.
Oh,
I might. No, that's Mike James's theme music.
That's Mike's theme.
That would be great if you could edit that in.
I'll see what I can find and legally use.